This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 4, Book 72, entitled A New Twist to an Old Story. On this bright October Saturday morning, Henry Barber went out for a stroll, saying he'd return at 1 o'clock. It is now 1:15, and Fanny, sitting in the library with Paul and Clifford, glances impatiently at the clock.
I'll give him 3 more minutes, and then we're going to eat without him.
He won't like it, you know, Dad.
One time when we were kids, I remember Dad was late from the office, and we sat down without him. He said that...
Pardon me, Paul.
Huh?
Listen, I think he just came in. That you, Henry?
Hi, Mom.
Why, that's Claudia.
Oh, hi, Claude.
Well, hello. I just walked in. The door was open.
Mom, how are you? Claudia, how nice.
Hello, Paul.
Greetings, greetings.
Well, Cliff, that's quite a necktie.
Yeah, I got the idea from Tyler's Tyler, the tie tycoon. Tyler's Tyne, my favorite comic strip. How you, twin?
Oh, scrumptious. Where's Dad?
Well, he was supposed to be back promptly at 1. We're about to sit down because I'm having a souffle. Now, come along. Will you have lunch with us, Claudia?
Oh, I couldn't possibly, Mom. I've a million things to do. But let me ask one question. How many of you are busy for dinner tonight?
Well, I got a date with Roberta, but it's not just for dinner. Afternoon, dinner, evening. I'm going to ruin her Saturday for her.
Oh, would you bring her to my house?
Tonight?
I know, it's terribly short notice. We just decided. A warm feeling for the family circle stole over us this morning, and I said, Nicky, let's buy a couple of turkeys and have the whole family over for dinner.
And?
He said it was the best idea of the fall season.
What's behind all this?
Oh, it was just a whim. Does something earth-shaking have to happen before I invite the family to dinner?
Well, good, good.
And so me, Claude, I'm in. What time?
Not 1 minute later than 6. Paul, what about Nicolette?
You want me to bring her?
Would you?
Well, sure, if she's free to come.
I'll just have to peek at that souffle. Excuse me. I do wish you'd stay.
Thanks, Mom, but you understand why I can't.
I most certainly do. I won't be a minute.
Paul, what do you mean, if Nicolette's free to come?
You asked that, helping Betty and Jack with 6 youngsters? But I'll drop in across the hedge and bring her along so you can find the time.
Well, then I'll see you at 6.
Hey, now, Claude, just a second. You don't ask a mob like this over to dinner at the last possible minute without some occasion. So what is it?
The reason for the party is a surprise, and the party itself is a surprise. And that helps a little, doesn't it?
Are you walking out on us?
See you at 6 o'clock. Tell Mom I couldn't stay. And tell Roberta we very much want her to come. Bye.
What's all that supposed to add up to?
No. Nicky's been kind of abstracted lately. Maybe there's something cooking down the street.
Think so? Come to think of it, Nicky does sort of talk off the top of his mind lately.
You notice when it began?
What do you mean?
Long about the time they devalued the pound. He still has a lot of holdings in England, or so we've been led to believe.
Hey, you don't suppose he's lost the old family fortune, do you? Even if he has, it'd be a pretty punk reason for a family celebration.
Come along, Paul, Cliff. We're going to sit down. Now, this luncheon simply will not wait a minute longer. Now, where's Claudia?
She had to run.
It's the first time Dad's been late for a meal since about 1923. Oh, hey, Paul, look at that table.
Well, Mom, what are you up to?
Hey, the good silver, flowers. What's the big occasion?
Well, sit down and I'll tell you.
Here you are, Mom.
Thank you, Paul.
That's a pleasure.
With all the special party equipment, Mom, what's the idea?
Well, I went to see old Mrs. Stewart the other day. And there she was in that big house all alone with her children scattered here and there over the globe. And I thought, how lucky I am to have my family all living near me and you two boys at home.
Yes, you're a very lucky woman, Mom.
Well, I am. And I got to thinking, decided that Saturdays we're going to have a very special luncheon when you boys are both here. I'm going to celebrate my good fortune whenever I can.
Well, I'd say that's pretty flattering, wouldn't you, Cliff?
Well, yeah. Hey, let's go over there and kiss the lady, shall we?
That's an inspiration. I'll take the right cheek.
And I'll take the left.
The idea. Go sit down.
There.
And there.
Well, that's a pretty picture.
Oh, Jack, come in.
Hi.
Sit down and have some lunch with us.
Hey, souffle.
And, Paul, you'd better serve it, or it's going to fall perfectly flat. Jack, sit down. Please do. I would have asked you, but Betty didn't think you'd be home in time.
Oh, I can't, Mom. I just want to borrow some eggs. Don't get up. I know where they are. I need six of them.
One for each daughter, Jackson?
I don't know. It's something Betty and Nicolette are cooking up. Some kind of a cake. Gosh, it smells good, though. Biscuits, too, huh?
Jack, darling, you either sit down or get out of here. I want Paul to say grace this noon. You're invited next Saturday, Jack. Will you come?
Sure, anytime. I don't see as much of my family as I'd like to anymore. I'm either at the office or running errands or entertaining the kiddies with Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter.
Well, I'm going to give a series of stag luncheons for my sons. I'll be the only woman present, ancient as I am. That way I won't have to worry about the competition.
Well, thanks for the eggs. I'll see you later. I'll go out the back way.
Paul, will you say grace?
Oh, certainly, Mom. Dear Lord, bless this food to our use and ourselves to thy service. We thank thee for the good fortune that attends us, for family, for friends.
Fanny, where are you?
For thy generous bounty. Keep us ever mindful of those less fortunate the whole world over. Amen.
What's this, Fanny? Having lunch already?
Henry.
Hi, Dad.
Well, Henry, where in the world have you been?
Sit down. Don't let me disturb you.
But you promised you'd be back promptly at 1 o'clock. After all, Clifford has a date with Roberta this afternoon.
And what time is it now, please?
It's 1:15, Henry.
May I ask you one question, Fanny?
Of course, my dear.
Of what importance, may I ask, is 15 minutes one way or the other on a Saturday afternoon?
Well, it makes considerable difference to a souffle. Now come and sit down.
I'll get washed up if you don't mind. Don't let your souffle get cold. Go right ahead.
There, I'll serve your plate, shall I?
I'll serve my own, Paul, thank you. I'm not hungry. I've had an encounter with the most unpleasant young man I ever met in my life. It's taken away my appetite.
Who was it?
A rude, bumptious, sneering peasant. I gave him a piece of my mind.
For 15 minutes, Dad? He likes to be bang smack at the head of the table when the curtain goes up, doesn't he?
Well, he's upset about something else. I'll tell you this, if he's grumpy this noon, I'll send him away from the table. These Saturday luncheons are going to be pleasant.
Pleasant even if you have to fight for it, huh, Bob?
Hey, you taste that souffle?
Wonderful, isn't it?
Sink your teeth into these biscuits?
Great.
Think we ought to get up and go around and kiss the woman again?
After one more
I gave that young man a piece of my mind. I've spoken to 3 or 4 other real estate men about that old Middleton estate. They've got the price so high, nobody will ever buy it. And whoever owns it is letting it go to rack and ruin. Weeds in the driveway, papers scattered about. Why, it isn't in keeping with it, Street. It's a disgrace.
Henry.
I hear you.
Paul's trying to patter your plate. Sit down.
That must have been very fine when it was first served.
What about the Middleton place then? You're saying it was a disgrace.
Why, it's an outrage on a street like this where our lawns are all but manicured and everything green and well cared for to have a big old house like that go into rack and ruin with 15 or 20 real estate signs plastered all over it.
Well, some man was taking signs down yesterday when I went by.
Uh-oh, here comes Jack again.
Huh? Out the window, Dad.
Coming through the hedge. He's in a hurry this time.
Well, the biscuits are still warm, Fanny. They're really very good.
Hey, excuse me. I'm in a rush. I need 6 more eggs.
My goodness, Jack.
What happened? You fall down with the last one?
No, they're going to make 2 cakes for Claudia's party. Mom, we'll return them in the morning.
Have I got 6 more?
There were 8 left when I was here before.
Well, you're perfectly welcome, Jack, but return them this afternoon, will you? Your father demands eggs for his breakfast.
Okay, Mom. I'll go out the back way again.
They must manage very badly over at Jack's place. They're always having to borrow something.
Now, Henry.
Which young daughters would disrupt any household.
May I have another biscuit, Clivers?
Oh, sure.
Here. Well, what's this about Claudia's party? When is she giving the party?
It's tonight.
She wants us to come at 6.
Huh? 6 tonight? And who is us?
All of us.
A party tonight? Well, I haven't heard anything about this.
But, Dad...
People don't tell me anything anymore.
It just happened, Henry. She came in about 1 o'clock and invited us.
Oh. What's the occasion for such an abrupt invitation?
We'll find out when we get there. She wouldn't tell.
Goodness, let's talk about one thing at a time. Henry, what was it you started to say about the Middleton place?
Huh? Oh, yes. Well, one of those real estate men was there. A very bumptious young man. He was standing there in the driveway, just gazing around, and the driveway was littered with those advertising leaflets. So, in the course of a conversation, I said if I were in the real estate business, I'd consider it an obligation to keep my properties in tip-top condition and not spoil the appearance of a whole neighborhood.
He took exception to that?
Well, his attitude was very curious. He knew me.
Oh?
Oh, yes. He called me Mr. Barber in, well, what shall I say, in an extravagantly polite way. Yet he didn't volunteer his own name. As a matter of fact, he didn't tell me even when I asked him.
Well, what did he say, Henry? What was so rude?
Well, among other things, in a quiet, offhand fashion, he said that he also preferred to live in a snobbish neighborhood because it was quieter, cleaner, and better trimmed. He said that he would rise to defend snobbery in Eton.
Oh, he was joking, Henry.
Oh, no, he wasn't. He was downright unpleasant. Well, I certainly conveyed to him that I didn't like his attitude.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. There's a new owner over there.
Huh?
The Middleton place. Sure, I just remember. Somebody told me about it a day or two ago. The boy down the drugstore. The place has been sold, eh?
Well, thank goodness for that. You'll have to find something else to fuss about now, Henry. Who bought it, Clifford?
Oh, let me see. Somebody begin with an F. Frome. Frome, that's right. My name, Frome.
Perhaps you were talking to the new owner, Henry.
Frome? Well, that's a familiar name. Where have we encountered that name,
Frome's not a very ordinary name.
There was once a book we liked very much, Henry. Ethan Frome. Perhaps you're thinking...
No. It's someone we've met somewhere named Frome.
Hey, what time's your date, Cliff?
Oh, hey, I gotta go. Mom, will you forgive me?
Of course, dear.
Dad, you're gonna be using your car?
Oh, take mine, Cliff.
You're not gonna be needing it?
No, I'll be home all afternoon. Wait, I'll get you my keys. Excuse me, Mom.
Mom, it's a wonderful lunch. Sorry I have to hurry.
That's all right, Clifford. Next week, I'm sure everybody will be on time.
Frome. Let me see.
Are you coming, Cliff?
Right with you. Bye, Dad. See you tonight.
Yes, Clifford.
I'm sure you're thinking of Ethan Frome, Henry. We read it aloud and we both liked it. Don't you remember? Years ago.
Well, possibly so.
Hey, Clem.
What?
You sure about that name?
Yeah, why?
Did the boy at the drugstore mention Frome's first name by any chance? Here, I'll walk out the car with him.
Yeah, I think he did. Let's see. He mentioned it, but...
It wasn't Rex, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Rex Frome. How'd you know?
Huh?
What's the matter? I'll get this garage door.
Oh. Can't be, Cliff. Can't be two Rex Fromes.
Two Rex Fromes? What's that mean?
Cliff, it's Claudia's man in the red shirt.
Well, hey, what are you talking about?
You remember you were there summer before last in Montana? Claudia's man in the red shirt, Rexford Frome?
Paul, if it's something about summer before last, you'll have to come again.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Get talking about things like this, you just keep in mind I got a valuable piece of silver in my head. A whole decade I don't remember.
I keep forgetting. Of course you don't remember. Well, I'll tell you about it later.
You make it sound important. You say, Claudia's man in the red shirt. Does that mean that there was somebody in Todd's life besides Mickey some before that?
The less we say about it, the better. Especially in Dad's presence.
Now, hold on just a second now. I don't want any more gaps in my thinking than I've got already. Just who is Rex Frome, anyhow?
Well, his real name was Hans Froelich.
Hans Froelich?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that goes way back. There was a Hans Froelich... Yeah. Claude used to kid him. Oh, hey, Paul, he was the gardener's kid over at the Middletons.
That's right, when you and Claudia were in high school.
Oh, I'll be darned. Yeah, I used to feel kind of sorry for him. Gang called him Kraut and Heine. His dad spoke with an awful accent. You know, a kind of a Colbin Dill comedy German. Used to panic the kids.
That's the one. Well, he turned up in Montana 2 summers ago. He changed his name to Rexford Frome. He bought the 160 acres adjoining Nicky and Claudia's homestead up there. He'd never forgotten Claudia. He told her in my presence that she'd been a savage little snob and that he... Uh-oh.
Snob?
That's what he called her.
Yeah. Now, this afternoon, he applied the same adjective to Dan.
What do you suppose he's back here for?
Well, he had a kind of a rough time around here as a kid, Paul. He's got enough dough to come back and buy the place where his father worked as a gardener or I can't say I blame him.
Trouble.
Well, doggone it. If I'd been pushed around as a kid, I'd love nothing better than to come back and show people. Be a heck of a lot of satisfaction in it. No wonder he gave Dad the fishy eye. Hey, what are you worrying about?
Hans Froelich was in love with Claudia. Badly she treated him, Cliff. And Rex Froome up at Montana was, too, in his own fashion.
Oh, hmm. Nick, you knew about it?
Of course.
Oh, man. Stuff does happen, doesn't it? Oh, how much did Dad know about all this?
Not any more than we had to tell him.
Sounds like the good old days, doesn't it? What Dad doesn't know doesn't hurt him.
Well, he'll have more to worry about than weeds in the driveway if Rex Froome moves into the neighborhood. And...
Oh, hey, Paul, isn't that car starting here?
Hey, looks like it.
How are you, Bobber?
Hey, it's Froome. Well, hello there.
Well, I got to run. I'm late now. You take him on. See you this evening, Paul.
Okay. Give my love to Roberta.
Yeah, well. Thanks for the car.
I hope I'm not barging in. Remember me? I'm Rex Froome.
I'll see you later.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to see you, Froome.
I was just driving by and I saw you. Wasn't that Clifford that just left?
Yeah.
A good many years since I've seen him. Your mother used to give me some of his old clothes when I was a kid around here. I didn't drive him away, did I?
No. Oh, you had a date.
Well, as I started to say, I was driving by and I saw you, so I thought I'd say hello. I'm a neighbor of yours now.
So I understand.
Oh? It's no longer news, then?
Well, things get around in a neighborhood like this.
Yes, I know. I've often thought of Seacliff as a tight little island of complacency.
Did you move into Reformers?
I wish I knew just why I did move back here.
Oh?
Oh, come now, Barbara. Don't give me that owlish look. You don't know why I'm here either.
No, I don't.
But you'd like to know what prompted Rex Froome, ex-gardener's son, ex-Hans Froelich, to come back to the scene of his boyhood and buy the house where his father was an underpaid gardener, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm not without curiosity, of course.
And a little apprehensive, too, no doubt.
Apprehensive?
You're wondering if I might not cause trouble, upset the smooth flow of life in a barber family.
Aren't you assuming a pretty important place for yourself? What makes you think you could upset anyone in the Barber family?
I was thinking about summer before last in Montana.
Oh, I see. Does Claudia know you're here?
You ask me a question like that in Montana. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if I said something that didn't quite correspond with what she might say?
You know something? I've changed my mind about your upsetting us. You've succeeded in doing that very thing, at least as far as I'm concerned.
That's the nicest thing you could have said to me. You've made me important. And that's the thing I've needed all my life. You've been honest, I'll be honest. I think it was that need which brought me back here. It's like the fellow I heard about who was turned down at the golf club. He wasn't considered socially acceptable, so a few years later, when the club got into financial difficulties, he bought the place, lock, stock, and barrel. Turned it into a public course, open to anybody. Well, maybe it's the same kind of impulse that made me want to get back here and own the big place at Seacliff where I was kicked around as a kid. Maybe it's just that and nothing more. Does that ease your mind any?
From, you're an interesting guy.
Now, that's praise indeed coming from you. You know, as a kid, you were kind of an ideal of mine. I remember when you came back from the First World War, wounded. You were pretty glamorous. I used to hang around to get a look at you, but you never seemed to notice me. Then I got so I thought you were fat-headed and smug. I think I've carried that opinion with me ever since. Now I wonder.
Well, you're not the first one to think I'm smug, so you could be right. Much as I hate the idea.
You know, Barbara, it just occurred to me. I think you're shy and you're covering up. And it's that cover-up that makes you seem, well, self-satisfied.
Well, I could... Oh, there's my sister Hazel. Hey, where are you going?
On my way in the house to see Mother.
Mind coming here for a moment? You remember Hazel, don't you?
Sure. Been a long time, though, since I've seen her.
Well, that's right. You didn't see anyone but Claudia and me in Montana that summer, did you?
Now, what are you doing? Taking the sun? Oh, I didn't see anyone sitting in the car.
Hey, do you remember Mr. Froome? Mrs. Murray?
It would probably mean more if you said Hans Froelich. That was my name the last time I saw you, Mrs. Murray.
Oh, yes. How are you?
Very well. You haven't changed much.
Well, you're very kind.
Roma's bought the Middleton place.
Oh, really? Pinky said somebody had bought it. My son keeps us up on what's going on in the neighborhood. It'll be nice to have the place occupied again. It was getting so run down.
Yes, there'll be plenty to do around the grounds. My early training will stand me in good stead. Well, I'll be driving on. Glad to have had the chat, Barbara. Goodbye, Mrs. Murray.
Bye.
I'll be seeing you before too long, I hope.
Sure, I think it'd be a good idea.
We might even get to like each other. Who knows?
Paul?
Yes, Hazel? It's a Rex Frome from Montana, and I'm just as much in the air about it all as you are.
Are you shutting me up?
No, but
you are, too, and I'll just fool you by being completely uncurious.
That's a switch.
Oh, you. I'm going in the house.
Well, you've been detected anyway. Mom's waving to you from the window.
Where? Oh, I'm coming right in, Mother. Aren't you coming in?
I'll be along after a bit.
Come in the back way, Hazel. Now, that was Hazel. She was out in the garage talking to Paul. Henry, did you hear what I said? I said it was Hazel. She was out...
Henry, I know it's Hazel. You've been calling her name at the top of your voice.
Indeed. Why don't you go and take a nap? You're always grumpy after you've had lunch. We're in the library, Hazel.
I know. I'm coming.
Now, put the paper down, Henry, so we can talk.
How are you, Mother?
Hazel, my dear, how nice of you to come over.
Sit down.
Thank you, Father.
Well, what do you hear from Daniel? Still in Los Angeles?
Oh, yes. I talked to him on the phone last night. Said he'd be home next week sometime.
We miss him.
The children and I miss him, too. Do you know it's been simply years since he's been away like this?
I don't think I've ever been anywhere without Fanny.
Are you complaining, Henry?
To the contrary, my dear. I wouldn't know what to do with myself all alone in some other city. You'd be lost, that sort.
Henry, you see, you can say nice things when you try. You should try it more often.
Yes, Father, it works wonders. It really does.
Well, I don't believe in idle talk just to be saying something. When you actually feel some way, that's a different matter. Now, in this case, I happen to feel that way, and I said it.
And you're glad?
Huh?
Oh, you know, I said it, and I'm glad.
Glad? What are you talking about?
Oh, forget it. I was trying to be funny.
Yes, yes.
Well, Henry hasn't much of a sense of humor just after he's had lunch.
Well, that was pretty weak humor.
Yes, humor.
By the way, what's the occasion at Claudia's tonight? She called, but it was so vague.
I really don't know. She told us there's nothing special, just wanted the family over.
Well, she acted mysterious to me.
Well, it's a little sudden. And she insisted she wanted everybody to be there, all the family, and Clifford is bringing Roberta, and Paul is to take Nicolette.
Good heavens, how's she going to manage on such short notice? I think I'd better call her and see if I can't go over and help her this afternoon.
Well, now, that might be nice. Henry, hand Hazel the phone.
That's all right, Father. Sit still. I'll get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I could have reached it for you.
Henry, why don't you put that paper down? You ought to know it by heart by now.
Well, I didn't get a chance to read it this
morning.
Hello,
Claudia? Oh, hello, Joan. Is your mother there? Hazel? Didn't you? Well, if she isn't busy, I'd like to speak to her. I'm at your grandmother's, and I thought I'd come over and help out.
Well, she's right here. Well, just a second. Hazel wants to talk to you, Mother.
Oh, thank you, Joan. Hello, Hazel. Well, we have been buzzing, no doubt about that. Joan's been helping me. I must confess that Mrs. McCullough's not too happy. Oh, that'd be wonderful, Hazel. All right, fine. I'll see you in a little while, then. Thanks. Bye. Hazel's coming over to give us a hand.
Oh, swell. We can use her. Oh, there. That takes care of the candelabra. Oh, don't they look nice, all polished up?
Wonderful. That's a beautiful job, darling.
It's kind of fun to polish silver.
I believe you're getting so you like to do things around the house. It isn't such a chore anymore.
The idea of washing dishes still doesn't appeal to me much. Oh, not that I do them very often.
I don't think anybody likes to do dishes. What I meant was that you seem to take some interest in your home now.
I guess so. I try to.
I know you do, darling. You used to leave your room in such a mess. Now it's always so neat. Really, I used to go in there sometimes after you'd gone to school and want to cry with frustration at the shambles. Bed unmade, shoes all over the floor, tops off jars, bottle caps on the bathroom floor, notepaper scattered around.
Oh, was it that bad?
That bad? You have no idea.
Guess it was all right. This summer when I was staying with Uncle Paul, he came into my room one morning and he said, "Young lady," you know how he gets when he acts like he's mad.
Yes.
He said, "Young lady, this room is an unholy mess. Clean it up. This is a spit and polish outfit you're in. I'll be back for inspection in 15 minutes. And then he walked out. I knew he was kidding, but he meant it, too.
I know.
Anyway, maybe that explains why I keep my room clean now. That and the fact that I'm happier here at home.
Yes, darling. And that's the all-important thing to me.
Well, what can I do now? The silver's all done.
Well, let's see. Oh, I know. Would you like to run
upstairs? I'm walking right in.
Oh, come on in, Hazel.
Exactly what I'm doing.
Hi, Hazel.
Well, you two certainly look busy.
You didn't waste any time getting over here.
Father drove me over.
Why didn't he come in?
Said he had to go home and take a nap. Mother's orders. Probably be good for him, though. He seemed a little out of sorts.
What's the matter now?
Oh, nothing in particular. You know Father. Well, I'm here to do some work. What do you want me to do?
The main thing is to stay out of the kitchen. Mrs. McAuliffe is in no mood to be crossed.
Yes, we sprang this dinner on her right out of the blue. She hasn't actually said anything yet. But that's why Joan and I have been doing the silver in here out of her way.
Claudia, we're all so curious. What's the occasion?
Just a family dinner.
Oh, come on now. You wouldn't be going to all this fuss for just the family. It isn't anybody's birthday, is it? I'll bet that's it. Claudia, if it's somebody's birthday and I've forgotten...
Nobody's birthday. Relax.
Well, thank heaven. Now put me to work.
Well, how would you like to write out some place cards for me? You print so nicely.
All right.
Joan, do you want to run up to my study and get the cards?
Okay. Where are they?
I think you'll find them in my desk.
You want me to bring a pen, too?
Yes, please. And you'd better wash that silver polish off your hands.
Oh, I will.
I should have given you an old pair of gloves.
Oh, it'll come off. I'll scrub them.
Now, let's see. You want to help me put fresh candles in these candelabra, Hazel?
Mm-hmm. Don't they look lovely, though? You have such beautiful silver. Must be a pleasure to give a dinner party and be able to have everything just right.
These are nice pieces. Nicky brought most of it from England. Silver that's been in his family for years.
Where is Nicky? Not around?
No, he's downtown. He's a busy man today. He'll be back before long, though.
Has he said anything about the new arrival in the neighborhood?
What new arrival?
Now, don't tell me you haven't heard that someone bought the old Middleton place.
Oh, I heard that. But it's been for sale for months. What about it?
Well, I just met the new owner about half an hour ago. It's Rex Frome.
Rex Frome?
Yes. He was talking to Paul out in front of the house when I went over to Mother's.
What is he doing here?
That's what I'd like to know. Paul didn't seem to know what it was all about either. I thought he was stuck up there in Montana and we'd never see or hear of him again.
That's what I thought, too. Oh, Hazel, why did this have to happen today? Today of all days.
Why, Claudia, I didn't know this would upset you. I thought that was all over and done with.
Oh, it is. It is. It's just that it's so ironic that we would have to learn about it just as Nicky is...
Just as Nicky is what? Claudia, dear, you're white as a sheet.
Oh, it's all right. I'm wondering how I can tell Nicky, that's all. You see, Nicky's flying to England. He leaves tonight. That's why we're having the party. We wanted to surprise everybody and make it a happy farewell.
If he's going to England, hasn't anything to do with Rex Frome, has it?
Oh, no, of course not. He has to go over and see about his property. This devaluation of the pound has caused some serious disturbances financially, and his solicitor feels it's necessary he go over and tend to things.
What are you worrying about, then?
Don't you see, Hazel? He leaves and this Rex Frome moves into the neighborhood all on the same day. I'm afraid Nicky might think that... Oh, you must see what I mean, Hazel.
Yes, I do. But your conscience is clear, isn't it?
It is now, Hazel.
Just heard Chapter 4, Book 72 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 5, entitled Family Reaction to Rexford Frome, will come to you next week at this same hour. The best Sunday listening, so today and every Sunday, listen to NBC for top comedy entertainment on the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. And then stay tuned as mystery expert Sam Spade solves your listening problem with an exciting and humorous new caper. For the best listening, keep tuned to NBC. One Man's Family came to you from California. You're tuned for the stars on NBC.